In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
We give welcome and extend welcome to everyone today, especially those who may be visiting with us. Today in the church, as it works out, we have, you heard, two different gospel passages today, and the first was the one for the Sunday. The second was for the Feast of St. Michael and all the holy angelic powers that we celebrate today. So it's nice whenever the feast days like this fall on the Sunday that we have a chance to hear both of the Gospels. And today I thought I would mention just a little bit about the holy angels and their place in the revelation of Holy Scripture, and also in their place in our lives. It gives us today an opportunity to point out really their role in salvation history. And I can tell you that I'm not going to do that in 15 or 20 minutes. But let me take a few moments to just highlight some of the important aspects of the ministry of the holy angels to us. And let's face it, I mean, we really often don't have an awareness of the presence of the angels. And oftentimes we even treat them almost with contempt. You know, I think of like the little chubby cherubims that we put on the Christmas cards at holiday season. That's the vision, I think, of the holy angels that we often have. It's emotional or sentimental. I think this comes actually from the Latin West and some of the things that took place in the piety of Western Christianity. But it's really not helpful to us to understand really what the angelic powers are about. Rather, what the angels show us is their whole order of creation that we don't know anything about. Really, when you get right down to it, these are invisible powers that God has fashioned. And as we say in the liturgy uses, by the way, the imagery and the knowledge, this church's knowledge of the angels frequently. Thousands, tens of thousands of angels, archangels, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, cherubim, seraphim. All of these angelic creatures that we can't even imagine because they're not material. They're spirit. Okay? So that's maybe the first thing that we should note about the angels is they're not material. You know, the little, you know, chubby cherubim, or the little angel, that's not it. Okay? In fact, that deceives us. It's a misunderstanding of what the angelic powers truly are and what they point us to, which is this spiritual reality that we know nothing about. But they show us that that is their existence. We have a material existence, which they do not have. Okay? And that's where we get caught up. We get caught up and stuck in our material existence. Now, what they show us is, hey, there's this other spiritual existence. And oh, by the way, you have a spiritual existence too. And they lead us into an awareness of that which is truly spiritual. And so that's one of the reasons why in Orthodoxy there's this constant sense of the awareness of angels that is brought to us. Secondly, we're assigned, as the church teaches us, a guardian angel. And again, oftentimes we think of the guardian angel soon after the child is born or baptized, and we think of the little angel hovering around the child, and it's cute. Let me tell you something. You have a guardian angel. That angel is a warrior. The angel is not cute. The angel is a warrior with weapons. You know, did you ever take a look at the icon of St. Michael? He's got weapons, okay? But the weapons are not, you know, material warfare. It's the spiritual warfare that we all struggle with and that we need help with. And so God sends us a warrior with a quiver full of arrows to fight off the demonic. And heaven only knows, if we did not have our guardian angels, we'd all be on our way to hell. How many situations do they save us from? And no, it's not just running the red light. But it's the spiritual temptations in our minds and in our hearts and the coveting that we have for these material things that lead us into darkness. And the angels, in their own mysterious way, graced by the power of God, prompt us, lead us, encourage us, warn us, make life uncomfortable for us, and yes, sometimes even intervene in life, so that the decisions that we would make will not lead to our eternal damnation. That's what they're doing for us right now. All 65 of them here today that are an active part of this liturgy and this community. That's what they're doing. They're helping us. They're our advocates. They show us how to know God's will and to follow God's will in a mysterious way. And to fight and gain victory in our own spiritual battles that each one of us confronts. You know, the notion of a guardian angel, too, is there's something wonderful about that, because it's not just the angelic hosts that are up there, but God shows us in his infinite and merciful love, gives us a guardian angel, somebody that's close to us. You know, this angelic power created before any of the rest of the world, assigned to you to be your companion in this life. And what a wonderful blessing this is, that this angel is like a sentry that keeps watch day and night over us. We have often in our prayers, we say, Lord, help me so that I don't sin and grieve my guardian angel. So, the guardian angels then are also celebrated today as part of this angelic host. The angels do something else. They show us who Jesus is. In this particular gospel passage, the Lord says, I saw Satan fall. And this is recounting the victory of St. Michael over the demonic forces in that great battle that took place before the creation of the material world. Jesus was there. He says, I saw that. I saw Satan. I saw the victory of the angels, who are the spiritual warriors for goodness and godliness. And the angels, you know, so it shows us then the divinity, they show us the divinity of Christ from this passage. That Christ was before the material creation. But you know, it also shows something else in the scriptures, and that is that the angels show up, but they show up to minister to Christ. So after the Lord is tempted in the desert, he receives the ministry of the angels. At the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is facing this crucifixion, this end in this agony in the garden, the angels come and minister to him. So what does this show us in the scriptures? The ministry of the angels in this case shows us the humanity of Christ. So we see here the revelation of the true God-man, the Lord before all ages, who created the angels, but also who in his humanity received the ministry of the angels. And indeed they attend to the Lord Jesus. And they glorify him and they worship him. He said that he could call upon a legion of angels who would have delivered him from the crucifixion if he wished. But yet that was not the will of the Father in heaven. And so we see this incredible, the Lord who is uncreated creates the angelic host and then creates the material world. And we see now God immersing himself and bringing the angels into communion with us in our material way of living, coming and going. And the angels throughout the scriptures would serve the Lord in this particular way in the world. So what there was an angel, the word angel, angelos, is a messenger. A being that is sent. Often in the Old Testament, for example, they appeared as in human form, but they were seen to be angels. There was something that, that transcended just simply the materiality of that human form. The angels have a message. They have a message for us. What's the message? Unto you a child is born in the city of David, Christ the Lord. They have good news for us. Now the question is whether we ever learn to hear the angels. And no, I'm not talking about being psychotic here. But what I'm talking about is having this sensitivity in our souls and in our spirits so that the movement of our heart can be responsive to spiritual things, however God communicates them to us, and truly responsive to God's grace and the grace as ministered to us through the work of the angels. God's messages to us. You know, we say this, in human life actually a lot of times. Well, the angel saved me, okay? And over again, the angel saves me, and there's got to be a message for me in this somewhere. How many messages is the Lord trying to get across to us through the angels, whether they be angels in the flesh or angels purely in the spirit, and we don't get the message? And so let us attune our minds and our hearts to whatever that message is. And it begins, of course, with the gospel, the coming of Christ into our world, that Christ is among us, and that indeed our life can be filled with grace. It can transcend this life. And that's maybe the last thing I want to mention here about the angels. You know, we say in the liturgy over and over again, it struck me as I was reading the prayer before the thrice holy hymn that we just sung. Holy, 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 holy God, holy mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us. Whose hymn is that? Who thought that one up? Well, it's the hymn of the angels. What we're doing, brothers and sisters, is we're imitating the angels. The angels show us how to worship God. And this capability that we have to worship God is the essence of our human person. This is our spiritualness, is to be able to worship God and to give glory to God and to give thanks to God and to worship Him. And so I invite you, as we go through the rest of the liturgy, to listen for the places in the Eucharistic hymns and the other hymns as to where these angels are showing up all over the place. You see, we believe that the angels are here. The cherubim, the seraphim, the six winged, many eyes, soaring aloft on their wings. You'll hear me say that in the anaphora. I say it because it's true. It's not just a nice poetic words. But this is the spiritual reality in which we are immersed. That is what the sacred liturgy is. And so their worship is the one that we are invited to in this church. See, they're here 24/7. We come and go. And God privileges mankind because Christ became flesh to make a special sacred way of worship, which we call the Eucharistic liturgy. But the worship of God is not limited to that. Although in our humanity, that is the most perfect way that we can worship God in this liturgy, in this Eucharistic liturgy. But it's a liturgy in which we simply join the angels. And what do we? We're going to sing in 2 minutes. We who mystically represent the cherubim. Who? The cherubim. You know those angelic powers. And sing what? The thrice holy hymn. Holy, 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 Lord of hosts. The Trinity. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We will sing that hymn. Now, how do we join them but by laying aside our earthly cares? And all that concern that we have about all those material things, the things that drag us down, the things that the angels are trying to save us from, and so that we can truly worship God in spirit and in truth. So let us, brothers and sisters, give glory to God, but also honor these angels, these sacred creatures. We don't worship them. They are not God or gods in the sense of the uncreated God. but we honor them. We give them this praise for their goodness, their faithfulness, their purity, their holiness. And they serve also for us as inspirations as well and helpers in the ministry that leads us to the salvation of our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.